You're listening to the Good Food for Glasgow podcast, but this episode is taking a nationwide focus, jumping off from the Scottish Food Partnerships gathering back in May and thinking about the role of food partnerships in making Scotland a good food nation. In this episode, we'll hear from Simon from Nourish Scotland, Marley from Argyll and Bute Council, Martin from Granite City Good Food, and Katrina from Highland Good Food. But first of all, we'll hear a few quick clips from the day of the gathering.
Makes a noise. Right, so on the count of three, if we all do that, put your coffee cups down, that's it. One, two, three. What's the difference?
It's louder, yeah. So I'm standing alone doing it, and if we all do it together, it makes a bigger impact, it makes a bigger noise, doesn't it?
And one loud voice, how do we shout as a network rather than it just being Clacks or Falkirk?
Food partnerships offer a win-win solution for everybody, and we need to keep challenging ourselves and our policy makers and our partners to think more broadly about the food system.
So Simon, could you please introduce yourself and say a little bit about Nourish Scotland and what you do there?
Hello, my name is Simon Kenton-Lake. I'm Senior Project Officer at Nourish Scotland. For those of you who don't know who we are, we're an NGO based in Edinburgh, working on food policy and practice, not just here in Scotland, but also across the UK and internationally.
And am I right in thinking that you're overseeing a lot around food partnerships in Scotland and bringing those together?
Yes, so part of my role at Nourish is the support of the Sustainable Food Places Network in Scotland. So Sustainable Food Places is a network of food partnerships that go right across the UK. And by food partnerships, what I mean is the mechanism at place level for bringing together actors and stakeholders from across the food system to collaborate and work together in order to create system change at a place-based level.
And why is this a good approach to trying to change our food system? Why is that kind of collaborative partnership method the way that we're pursuing?
So collaboration and partnership working is really important because, well, food is a system and you can't change a system without looking at all the different elements. So if we were to, for example, take the five-a-day campaign, the five-a-day campaign was a really wonderful marketing campaign, I suppose, that everybody's heard of, but it didn't really take a systems approach. And what it did was just push in one direction, and that pushed at the consumer, which said, effectively, if you eat five fruit and veg a day, then you'll become more healthy. What it didn't take into consideration is everything else as part of the food system. So for example, can you afford to buy fruit and veg? Is it available in the shops where you live? For example, if you have to eat out of the home, is it available where you get your food there? We used to eat about seven times out of the home in Scotland per week. But we know from research that for every three meals that you eat outside of the home, there's only ever half a portion of veg in that whole three. But then also, for example, what if you don't like veg? So there's lots of different factors sitting around it. So if we don't take a systems perspective, then we can't actually affect change. And so in recognition of the food system, we have lots of different people in that system. So the people who grow the food and cook the food and the people who take it to a place that feed it to you, that pick up the waste at the end of it, you know, all these different parts. So if you don't bring people together, how can you actually affect change? You only try and push against one part.
Okay, thanks. That's a really great explanation that I think makes it really clear that when we're dealing with this complex system, you kind of need a complex partnership to tackle it. So we've just had our gathering of the Scottish Sustainable Food Places. And I'm intrigued to know, in terms of those complex actors in the food system and coming together in a partnership, how far do you think food partnerships across Scotland share the same problems and the same issues? Is there much commonality between the things that different food partnerships are trying to tackle? Would you say, having met, that you think there's a unified stance on a lot of things?
I think there are a number of commonalities. Firstly, there is the willingness and the passion to affect food system change. We know the food system is broken, but on the reverse side of that, one of the commonalities we have is the problem of getting people to understand and look at things in a systems way, realizing the interconnectedness of everything. Because food systems are very complex, we tend to take individual items and then we create policies in order to affect them. So for example, diet-related health issues or food insecurity or climate change in nature. We have these individual policies and it's very difficult to come together. And everybody works in these different areas, even if they're not working in policy. You have farmers who do certain things. You have people who work at food banks. Everybody's working in their own silo, but getting to see how they can work collaboratively. And that's what we do as food partnerships. I think that's what we're very good at. And that's another commonality we have, is this willingness to bring people together, even though it's not always easy, to work together and collaborate across the whole piece. which is, you know, it's quite tricky. And when you look at the food system, it's enormously complicated, and it's much easier just to take an individual part at a time. So it's doing that. And I think whilst we have these similarities, we have to recognise that the UK and Scotland, it's made up of lots of different types of geographies, lots of different demographics. And so how you might operate as a food partnership in Highland is going to be very different to how you would operate in Clackmannanshire, for example, because they're very different places. So it's having that flexibility and that agility to be able to swap and change and move around as you see problems come up or opportunities arise.
So we're having lunch at the moment, a delicious lunch cooked by Turn Up the Beat, and I'm here with Marley from Argyll and Bute Council. And Argyll and Bute don't currently have a food partnership, but they're working on it. So what are some of these preparatory steps for you on that journey to eventually forming a food partnership?
I think our first step is working out which local stakeholders we want to have involved or should be involved, and trying to make it not just a project that's council-led. I think that's something that we've been hearing a lot from the discussions today, try and bring everyone to the table who should be at the table and make it a collaborative project, which will hopefully mean it's a more sustainable thing within itself. Becoming a sustainable food place isn't dependent on one person and on one role, it's a whole community moving forward.
And that sounds like quite a challenge. Is there generally an energy in Argyll and Bute around food, would you say, amongst people?
Since starting my role a few months ago, I've been really lucky to have some incredible conversations with individuals on the ground, and I'd say the majority of individuals, yes, in terms of engagement around food and drink and food security and changing things up wherever we can, bringing in local support. Absolutely, there's a lot of interest, but it's having interest from everyone, so from bottom up and the top down. I think at the moment there's an in the middle gap that we need to somehow link together.
Absolutely. What is your key priority, would you say, in what you'd like to do? What do you think is a key issue that you'd like to address in Argyll and Bute in terms of your food policy? If we're thinking about Scotland wide, what do you think is something that in Argyll and Bute is particularly something that you'd like to work on?
I think that is a very big question and definitely difficult to have one big answer, and I think it would change in which way I'm answering it. If it's from a council perspective, I probably can't really give you one answer because I think there's so many multifaceted areas. The Argyll and Bute Council themselves are very good with local procurement, food procurement, trying to get more local products into schools where possible. So I think that would definitely be a top takeaway. For me personally, again, so difficult to answer the question, but to see that the work that I'm trying to contribute at the moment actually sees more people having access to healthy, affordable food would be a great win. So to try and have some assessment in a year, 2 years, 3 years time to see right now from here to there, have we actually made progress, or has it just been a lot of talk without much action?
So I'm here with Martin Carl from Aberdeen, Granite City Good Food. It's very nice to be chatting to you today, Martin. We've just had a very delicious lunch from Turnip the Beat. What did you think of lunch? What was your favourite bit?
It was brilliant. I don't know what my favourite bit was. The soup was amazing, the bread was amazing, all the delicious vegetables, local vegetables were amazing. So it was all really, really good, actually.
I'm trying to get a kind of general picture of Scottish food partnerships, but also at the more local level, what are those things in Aberdeen that you're working on at the moment?
Gosh, there's lots. I mean, Aberdeen City is a very urban population, and we've got lots and lots of amazing green space despite being quite an urban population, so there's lots and lots of activity happening at that community gardening level.
At the moment we're in the summer months, so I suppose quite a lot of things that we've been doing recently have been little bits and pieces of outreach, getting into communities and talking about the key things that are constituents in a sustainable food system, as it were. So at the weekend, for example, we were along a local business fair held by one of our local coffee shops who have a social space up above their coffee shop, Nelda Market, and we were there speaking about sustainable food, and the organisation that I'm hosted by, we were speaking about all our approaches to tackle poverty and raising awareness there. With the cost of living crisis as a wider thing, there is that big emphasis on poverty and really looking at the wide range of different things that we can be doing to create a food system which is sustainable to that and supports tackling poverty, supports people having access to healthy food and nutritious food and things like that. So there's lots going on around that agenda as well. And wider than that, I suppose, as a food partnership within the Sustainable Food Places network, obviously in 2022 we were lucky to be awarded our Silver Award, which was great. And as the ongoing strategic development of our partnership, quite a lot of it is bringing key people into that conversation, bringing new people into that conversation, and constantly expanding what we're doing as a food partnership and the amount of people that are involved in that as well. So building that good food movement too.
Okay, all sounds fantastic. So I always take a special interest in the North East Scotland food partnerships because I myself grew up in Aberdeenshire, so I'm always very interested. And I always think about the oil industry context of Aberdeen, and that was kind of my impression of where I grew up, this big focus and reliance on the oil industry. And obviously that's a big topic at the moment in terms of climate discussions. I was wondering, how would you say that Aberdeen as an oil industry city, how does that affect conversations around climate and around food and maybe just the general good food context that you're working in?
It's such a great question. And there's a few different levels that I think there is an answer there. One of them is that our nickname as a city is the oil capital of Europe, for example. And as a region, that sort of expands out as well. And so with that connotation comes this perception of wealth within the city, that because we have had the oil industry since the mid-70s, that we are a wealthy place to be. And that things, I suppose, historically have come with that attached price tag, as it were, that houses and different bits and pieces can conventionally be a little bit more expensive and things like that. And I suppose that's all come from the oil industry. But as I say, that's a perception. That's a bit of a veil, as it were. And that's not really the reality. It might be in some areas, but I think even within those areas, there are pockets of deprivation or parts of the food system that are unsustainable in that sense that we can support, and that there is still that level of support needed. So to that end, the solutions that we create as a food system, and certainly the organisation that our partnership is hosted by, CFINE, is all built around that and built around the sort of equality of support across the city. There are obviously priority neighbourhoods, but anyone across the city is able to access those services, and that perception of wealth we try not to get in the way sometimes. And I suppose the other aspect as well is that in terms of those that work in oil and in terms of the companies that continue to be based in Aberdeen, I suppose it's around having a conversation. We did a bit of outreach with one of those companies a couple of weeks ago and spoke at their sustainability fair and had a stall. And it's about having that conversation with not just the people that work there, but with those companies to help them see the vision of a sustainable food system and things as well. And to realise that there's far more to Aberdeen and Aberdeenshire than the oil industry as well, that Aberdeenshire particularly is such a larger of produce. There's so many great local food businesses and great local food producers in the region, that seeing all of that is a really important thing as well. So it's such an interesting one to think about sustainable food from the perspective of such a city that's got such a reputation around that.
That's a really interesting answer. Yeah, lots of aspects to that I think are really interesting to think about. To move on to my final question, just around more of that vision for the future and what good food might look like in Aberdeen, and particularly in Aberdeen as a specific place, but also in the context of Scotland as a good food nation that we hope it will become. What is your kind of idea for what that might look like?
I think it's a bit of a mix of quite a lot of different ideas and different things that people might say in the communities and those that we work with in terms of food being accessible and affordable, and that all being equitable as well. So everyone having a right to food, for example, being one thing, and that food is healthy, locally produced, potentially community grown. We've got a really fantastic network in Aberdeen City of community growers and community gardens in the city that are really engaged in that. So having that is a really important part of the city as well, that local businesses are supported and that there is that connection between community and business as well. And more generally, just having a vision within Aberdeen City that you could go out onto our main street, Union Street, ask people, what do you think of the food system, or what do you know of the food system, or what do you know of sustainable food? And people feel that there's a little patch of the food system that they know, that they feel they've got ownership over, that they feel they can talk about, whether it's community growing, whether it's cooking great community meals or something like that, that little pocket of the community that they can call their own. And that feeds into wider visions around the Good Food Nation ambition that Scotland should be growing more of what it eats and eating more of what it grows, for example. It feeds into quite a lot of our strategies, the connected conversations that we're having and how we grow that movement out, that all connects in there as well. So there's lots, and I feel like there's so much to unpack, but just a food system that feels really vibrant, diverse, and that people have that little chunk of it that they can call their own, as it were.
All right, thanks, Martin. That's a really fantastic vision, and I hope that we'll see it come to fruition. So yeah, thanks very much for your time today, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So I'm joined by Katrina from the Highland Good Food Partnership. Katrina, could you tell me a little bit about some of the issues that you're focused on up at Highland Good Food?
Yeah, so I guess we've got three main areas that we're focusing on now and into the future, and they broach the topics of good food culture, so the way that people experience food, how they feel about it when they eat it, where it comes from, how it's produced. The other part that we're focusing on is good food production, so that's quite specifically about where food's coming from, sustainable food production, what that looks like in a rural context in the Highlands, and also looking at infrastructure to support that good food production as well is really important in that context. And then the other thing that we're focusing on is integrated food strategy, so that's with a lot of partners in the Highlands and Scotland more generally, and looking at food system in Scotland and in the Highlands and what can our different partners do to make a change for the better within that. So on the good food culture side of things, we've got a couple of projects. One is called the Black Isle Feast. So we're doing that in collaboration with SAC Consulting and the Highlands and Islands Enterprise Tech Hub, and basically organising an event in September which showcases local sustainable food. And during that feast, we want to be hosting conversations about local food and within the context of climate change, local resilience, supporting local businesses, things like that. So if people are in the Highlands, they should definitely come along in September. Under Good Food Culture, we're also running some workshops with community growing projects in the Highlands. And this project was funded through Sustainable Food Places. And it's a year-long project where we're running 10 workshops across various locations in the Highlands. And we basically want to be supporting community growing projects and helping them develop skills, but also wanting to connect them up with other projects and build a bit of a movement there, which has been really successful so far. And then also on the good food production, one of the things that we've been doing is writing a report about farmer clusters, which is a slightly new concept in Scotland, but it is something that's been happening in the UK and the rest of the world for quite a long time. And it's basically looking at how we can manage land across ownership structures. So how can we collaborate across landscape scales? I say we. The projects are always led by the people that are in the clusters and they decide what they want to focus on. And there's some amazing examples in Scotland, people focusing on biodiversity, focusing on a specific species. But farmer clusters can also be about food production. And there's a lot of amazing examples of that in Europe as well. So our report is kind of collecting all of the examples in, and we really want to galvanise a bit of support for clusters and hopefully inspire some folk to get some started in the Highlands.
Hey, that sounds really interesting. I'll look forward to reading that report. You mentioned there the rural context of the Highland Good Food Partnership. And also, I guess you look at the map of the area that your partnership spans compared to the Glasgow Partnership, which is obviously just concentrated in the city. How do you think the geography of the partnership affects the work that you do and changes what your focus is?
Yeah, so the Highlands are massive, right? But they also cross an urban place and a rural place. You know, Inverness is a big city. Fort William has 10,000 people in it. These places are big as well, so it's difficult. So our partnership is working with two different dynamics and how they intersect and work together as well. So it is rural, but it's also urban. And there's some obvious challenges whereby how do we decide where we run a workshop? We want to make sure that people can come, but we also want to make sure enough people can come to make it worth it. How do we support people who are coming maybe 3-hour drive, 4-hour drive? It's not necessarily the best public transport. And that's something that we're trying to work through with the workshops that we're doing with community growing projects. We've run some in Inverness, we've run some in Alness, we're running one up in Thurso next month. So yeah, trying to choose places is difficult and getting to these places is difficult. Last year we did an amazing tour though. Me and my colleague drove around the Highlands and visited some amazing projects. We stayed quite a lot on the West Coast and went all the way up, visited some amazing projects. And that felt really important, just to meet people and see people and talk to them about the partnership. And hopefully we could do more of that in the future because it felt really invaluable. There's practicalities, but then there's also the way things are grown on the East Coast versus the West Coast is very different. You know, the way things happen is completely different. There's crofting and there's farming. There's lots of different ways in which people are organizing.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound great doing that tour. I can imagine you had a great time as well. I guess people road trip around the Highlands all the time, but doing it with that kind of partnership building focus sounds great. As my final question, I would just want to ask, so we're in the context of the Scottish Government implementing the Good Food Nation Act and trying to make Scotland a good food nation. What would good food look like in the Highlands for you? What is the food system that you're working towards and what would you like to see?
It can become quite a personal thing, I think, what people want to see in the food system. But for me, I want to see good food produced locally. I want to have people that are working in the food sector that are paid properly. I want to see infrastructure that is there and supporting that food that's produced. You know, markets are closing, abattoirs are closing, mills. You'd be hard-pressed to find a place where food is going from primary to secondary production in the Highlands and in a lot of places in Scotland. And I think that's a huge problem, and that kind of consolidation that comes from an industrialised food system is not serving people, it's serving profit. So I would like to see a lot more local food produced, but alongside that, I'd like to see a lot more local people employed in the food system, and I actually want to be employed in that food system and see it as a good career, and also more infrastructure there to support it. And affordability, you know, I think it's so important. The cost of living crisis is a scary thing, and the inflation on food is massive. But I think that also I don't want food to cost less, and I want people to be able to pay. And I think that means that sort of brings in the reason why we need to have a holistic look at the food systems, because it's not about bringing the price of a broccoli down. It's about making sure people have money in their pocket to be able to pay. And that's looking at things like, why are we paying so much money on rent? What are other things that are costing us? Affordability doesn't mean bringing the cost of food down. It means making sure people have the means to buy it. Yeah, those are the kind of things that I feel like I'd want to see in 10 years. And when it comes to the Good Food Nation Act, it's been super helpful for us in the partnership, because it's part of the thing that's coming out of the Good Food Nation Act is that local councils and the local health boards have to produce a food plan going forward. And we've been able to position ourselves as a partnership that could help the council and the health board do that. And we've really pushed for that to be a process. We want them to speak to each other when they're doing that. And we feel like it's really important to bring in other actors there. So we've asked the Scottish Crofting Federation to come in, the NFUS, and we're hosting conversations with these like pivotal partners. And that would have been really hard, I think, without the Good Food Nation Act / bill, something that's written down that says you have to produce a plan. It's really sort of pushed people to do it. So that's been really good. And that's, we're in the beginning stages of that.
Well, that's really great to hear that it's enabling more conversations and kind of giving you that mandate to have those conversations. And off the back of the Scottish Food Partnerships gathering, and obviously that was really fantastic having everyone in one room, seeing everyone's faces in person, getting to have a lovely lunch together in a day and some good conversations at Bannockburn House. Off the back of that, how are you feeling about the role of Scottish Food Partnerships going forward? It's a big time for food and food systems change in terms of the Good Food Nation Act coming in. What role would you like to see for Scottish Food Partnerships in working with the Scottish Government on that?
I think it's a really exciting time. So just to put it into context, so we have the Good Food Nation Act, which is coming down the line. The Good Food Nation Act places a statutory duty on Scottish Government, local authorities and health boards to produce food action plans. This is basically a systems-based piece of legislation which says what is the plan, what is the direction of travel in order to create a better food system. So Scottish Government will have to produce their national food plan, and the national food plan will be done, we think, by the end of next year. And then after that, health boards and local authorities will have 1 year to produce their own plans, which will basically have to look at the national plan and say how they're going to deliver that at a local level. Now, the really interesting thing about that as well is that there will also be an independent food commission, which means there is an independent body, independent from Scottish Government, independent from local authorities and health boards, that will assess and scrutinise the plans and the delivery of the plans. So effectively, you can't mark your own homework. So this is really important and this is really key. Now, because it's systems based, there are so many different elements, as we know, to the food system. Now, local authorities and health boards, in fact, Scottish Government, don't have the expertise, the capacity or the resources to be able to deliver at a systems based level. If you just take the example of local authorities and health boards, great, they use food, they provide food and put it on the public plate, but they don't grow food. So how are they going to engage with farmers, for example, in order to make sure that we have high quality, nutritious food on the public plate that is also equitable for people on the planet? And it sort of leads into our climate change commitments. So it's a huge amount of work. In order to do that, they will have to bring together actors from across the food system, i.e. you need a food partnership. However you want to call it, whether you call it sustainable food places, the mechanism is exactly the same. It's merely a way of bringing together people from across the food system to look at opportunities to collaborate. So it's really exciting in Scotland now because of the 32 local authorities in Scotland, we have 15 that are already members of the Sustainable Food Places Network. That means that they have partnerships, they're setting those partnerships up, and crucially, because this is what you need to be a member, you have the proactive engagement of your local authority, if not also your health board. So that's really exciting. The most exciting bit from that is that we have another 5 that we think will be members by the end of this year. And we're in conversations with 6 or 7 other local authorities at the minute about becoming members and setting up food partnerships. So all of a sudden it becomes very, very interesting because you've got nearly all of the local authorities in Scotland setting up food partnerships. So there is therefore a mechanism for delivering on the Good Food Nation Act at a systems level, because when you overlay the objectives of food partnerships, sustainable food places, and you overlay the scope of the Good Food Nation Act, they map exactly. So it'll make the best use of resources and it'll make sure that the plans when they come out are deliverable and also ambitious.
It does make a lot of sense. So hopefully we can see that be best utilised in the next few while. As a final question before we close, I wonder if there's anything to bring it down to more of an individual level for people listening. How do you think over the next year or so, and the Scottish Government bringing in their food plan, forming their food plan, consulting on it, how do you think people who are listening can maybe get involved or maybe get involved in their local food partnerships?
I would say there are a number of ways you can get involved. So obviously one is to find your local food partnership. It's not just about the members, it's the organisations. If you're interested in growing, there are lots of organisations where you live that will support you to do that. If you're interested in volunteering to help people to have dignified access to food, if they're on lower incomes, for example, there are lots of different projects you can get involved with. But when it comes down to the Good Food Nation Act, what we do know, this is part of the statutory duties, is there has to be an inclusive consultation process, and that has to involve children and young people. So it's not just that a plan will be developed at a national level or a local level. There will be consultations. There will be workshops for people to get involved and put their thoughts and their feelings forward about what they see as a good food nation where they live. So I would take your eye out for that. You'll be able to find out information through the Sustainable Food Places Network. And if you don't have a partnership in your area, you can find that through the website, then think about setting one up. You know, who are the people in your communities that are involved in food? Find out who your local MSPs are. Write to them. Let them know about the Good Food Nation Act. They should already know about it, but maybe they don't. Let them know it's coming down the line and saying what we need to be doing where we are in our place is getting ahead of that curve. There's no need to wait for Scottish Government to release their national plan. You can start making those connections, building those partnerships in your local area. So when you do have the opportunity to feed into your local plan, you're ready. The farmers are talking to the shops that are talking to the restaurants that are talking to the schools that are talking to the care homes, etc. So get that ball rolling immediately, because we're not going to have very much time, but this is our one chance. And I do think if the Good Food Nation Act is done well, we could fundamentally change the way we do food in Scotland.
Well, that seems a brilliant point to end on. Yeah, and hopefully we'll get some people moving.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Good Food for Glasgow podcast. You can find the websites of all the partnerships featured in this episode in the description, and more information about sustainable food places and the Good Food Nation Act too. There are also some other relevant episodes of this podcast if you enjoyed this episode, which will also be signposted in the description below.